Well, welcome along to From the Horse's Mouth. We are rolling on to day 2 of the Cheltenham Festival with the intrepid duo of Rory De Largy and Ruby Walsh, who are now safely ensconced at Cheltenham. Now, we are recording before day 1 has happened, I must let you know, so we won't be able to react to anything that's happened. But Rory, I was going to straight away ask you this, as I was thinking about this before. Sometimes that can be an advantage because you could watch day 1. You might get potential bias towards what may happen, or I don't know what your angle is to that. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, obviously, the thing about Cheltenham is you're looking forward to it for weeks and months beforehand, and you have all your ideas of what you want to be with. And there's this danger that you watch a couple of races and you suddenly start shifting your opinion, which has been, you know, hopefully born out of good study over a period of time. And once you start changing your mind at that kind of late notice, every now and again, you pull one out of the hat. But I think more often than not, you talk yourself out of winners.
Can't happen. I must remind you about the Paddy Power Fan Zones on March the 17th, aka St. Paddy's Day. We've sold out in Dublin. Fantastic. But there are still 2 more venues available and tickets available. Check the show notes. They are Galway and they will be London. So worth going along to those on the 17th, aka Gold Cup Day. They're going to be really good fun. Plenty of pints and bets and all sorts of lunacy. Also, check out the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel for plenty of Cheltenham content, including a brilliant Rewind show with Ruby Walsh, Rich Ritchie, and our own Paddy Power, looking back on all of those Cheltenham memories that Ruby had in the saddle, as well as a reminder, if you haven't already opted in, free bets available for you, the Paddy Power account holder. Do check it out on the Paddy Power website. There's a free bet for Wednesday's racing, and there's also be a free bet for Thursday's. You can use it on a single, or you can go on a multiple. Right, I've got all the bits in, I think. Ruby, how are you? You all right?
Good, PK, yourself?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking. It's very wet over here in Ireland, but I hear there's been plenty of rain in Cheltenham as well.
Yeah, there has. Same here in Cheltenham. It's going to be testing ground, PK. But look, we're talking about Wednesday on this podcast, so most people will have seen it by then. So, it is going to be testing. It'll be churned up ground on Wednesday. No fresh ground on Wednesday's track. It'll be interesting to see what riders do. I walked it. Going wide didn't look like a huge option to me, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
We'll get into the niche territory here, but they were worried about grass growth. You walked the course on Monday. Did you notice that?
Yeah, but I don't think Cheltenham, everywhere's worried about grass growth. There has been no grass growth in February. So Cheltenham's not on its own there, PK.
Okay, right. There we go. That's our little country file section done. Let's talk about winners on Wednesday. We start, as ever, with the Ballymore Novice Hurdle. Impere Pass is the 7-4 favourite. We're recording Monday evening, by the way, folks. He's 7-4 favourite. Hermes Allen, 3-1. 9-2 Gaelic Warrior. Patrick Mullins rides. 11-2 Good Land for Barry Connell. It's 15-2 Champ Kylie with Danny Mullins on board. And then 20s Bar. So the rest don't count, according to the betting. Off you go, Rory. Into the Ballymore we go.
Well, I'm going to come down on Champ Kylie here. He's the horse I've always liked. I talked about him on last year's show as a possible one for the bumper. And all he's done wrong in his career so far was that run in the Royal Bond, where he ended up tanking through the race, going too hard too soon, taken to the front by Paul Townend in bad conditions. And he still looked the winner before the home turn, but his exertions eventually told. And he was pulled back. I still thought that was a perfectly respectable run. He reversed the form with the runner-up then in the Lauders of Nace next time. I thought he won that in really good style. I'm not sure he quite got the credit he deserved for it. Went from the front there, but although he set what looked a reasonably strong pace there, I thought Danny Mullins looked very comfortable on him. The horse wasn't fighting him. He's got a big stride. He wants to use it. Normally, you'd be looking at a race like the Ballymore and wondering whether a horse like him who's long striding, wanting to go forward, whether they'd be setting themselves up for a finisher. And that might be the case here, but he's a horse I've always liked. And given he's a grade one winner this season in what is traditionally a very strong contest, he strikes me as still being overpriced.
Yeah. Would you go each way, or are you thinking winner only?
I suppose his run style might make him a little bit vulnerable, but I still think he'd probably get the run of things. I'd be happy to go each way, but I'm not splitting my stake there. I'd rather have the full stake on him, win or each way. Okay. I'd be happy to play it either way, depending on what I'm being offered on the place part. In a race like this, you're just going to be getting a fifth to 3 places, really, aren't you?
That's what I'm offering you, Rory. Anyway, that's all you get from me, Ruby. Imperi Pass heads this Mullins charge. It's a good charge though. There's 2 good subs there.
Yeah, I'd be with Imperial Pasto, PK. He was very good in the maiden hurdle at Nace before Christmas. He was good in the Moscow Flyer where he dropped back to 2 miles. His homework has been really strong since. Gaelic Warrior, probably be a better horse going the other direction. I'd agree with Rory. Cham Kiley at 8-1 does make appeal. I think Home My Lord has to improve a lot. American Mike has to bounce back to his very best. Hermes Allen was good in the Challo and Paul Nichols really likes him, but I'm with Imperial Pasto.
Lovely. Short and sweet from Ruby and Perry Pass to do the business in the Ballymore. Move on to the 210, aka the Brown Advisory. For those who really want the Broadway Novice Chase, 3 miles and heading the market, Jerry Colomb for Jordan Gainford and Gordon Elliott. It's 15-4 Sir Gerhard for Paul Tennant and Willie Mullins. 5-4 the Real Whacker, who could have gone for the Gold Cup, but sensibly or otherwise, connections have decided the novice event. Time Hill is 15-2. It's also 15-2. Galli de Litto, the Ramillas or Ramillas is 16s, amongst other big prices. Right, Ruby. Sir Gerhard, I have to ask you about him. 3 miles. How is he going to get on?
I don't know. He got 2.5, obviously, in last year's Ballymore. He's had one run over fences, which is over 2 miles, and his jumping got better as he went on. I don't know if he'll stay at PK, 3 miles and a half a furlong on really testing ground in a race where there looks like being plenty of pace with the Real Whacker and Gallia to Leto. Is going to be a real test of his stamina. Am I right to be up there as well? He's in good form, and I think he'll run a nice race, but I couldn't guarantee anybody if he'll stay. And at 5-1, yeah, he's probably a fair price. I would be with Jerry Colon. I think the race is set up from the Real Backer go forward, as I said. So will Gallio Leto. He's a really solid jumper, Jerry Colon. He's won at Limerick on testing ground. He looks like a horse that's crying out for 3 miles. And I think he's the right favourite. Look, I'm not tipping two shorties already on the card. I'm probably going to tip a third one. I think there's more solid favourites on Wednesday than there is on Tuesday.
That's fine. You tip the horses that you think are going to win and the ones that you think are the wrong prices. Jerry Colomb for Ruby there. Rory, your thoughts on this, the Brown Advisory?
Yeah, I think Jerry Colomb has drifted to a decent price. There are one or two people on the sort of British preview circuit who are anti-Jerry Colomb, saying he's a big, heavy-topped horse who won't really be suited by Cheltenham. I don't really buy into that, especially with the ground now guaranteed to be soft as well. I think he's the class act in this race. And of course, what we haven't seen is what he can do at 3 miles. And he is absolutely screaming out for this trip. We know he stays from what he did over hurdles, and he's just been looked after this season, dropped back to run over 2.5 there at Sandown. And I thought he did that nicely. Yes, he had to come off the bridle to win that race, and there were a few strides around the home bend where it looked like he might be in a little bit of bother. But once he got into the clear, he was always going to win that. He's going to improve a chunk for this sort of test on soft ground as well. Both the trip and the softer ground are very much in his favour. I can't believe he's nudging 2-1, to be honest. He looks more like a 6-4, 11-8 shot to me. I certainly wouldn't want to be against him. And I'll also be playing up and sort of protecting my stake with a reverse forecast with the Real Whacker. I know they're sort of first and third favourites at the moment, but that pair absolutely stand out to me on this season's form. My slight concern with the Real Whacker is I thought he was very effective, drop back and trip in the dipper here last time out. And although we know he stays from his hurdle form, I thought the fact that he's such a slick jumper makes him effective at a slightly shorter trip. But Pat Neville's convinced he'll stay all. He thinks he'll stay 5 miles. So I'm inclined to take Pat at his word on that. It's we know he should stay. And I think there are question marks over all the others. Sir Gerhard's got a little bit to prove, given his lack of experience and running over this trip. Time Hill won a dreadful race at Kempton. The Quarter Star's never had a good, never been a good guide to this race anyway. He won't particularly like jumping out of this softer ground as well, I don't think. And then I think the others have got plenty to find, to be perfectly honest. So Jerry Colomb, for me, looks one of the better bets of the week. And the Real Whacker looks his only danger. So I'll be playing quite heavily on the win and the reverse forecaster.
Is that you looking for a new 5 mile novice chase there, Rory? We don't have enough novice chases on the festival. Well, the 5 miler.
Yeah, never say never.
Yeah, that'd be good crack. All right, so pretty confident selections there for Jerry Colomb in the Brown Advisory, aka the 210. We move on to one of the trickiest handicaps of the week, the Carroll Cup. We're going 6 places on paddypower.com for this race, and a familiar look at the top of the betting with Charles Burns. I say familiar to handicap hurdle backers. Run for Oscar for the Burns father-son team, 6-1 favourite, 13-2 Cambron for Philip Hobbs, and Johnson White. HMS Seahorse, Paul Noland, a lot of talk about him. I know Neil Carberry really fancies him, 7-1. And as soon as the prices were revealed, or the book opened on Monday, once the declarations came through, An Epic Song was really strongly backed. 14s, 12s, 11s, 9s for JJ Slevin and Martin Brassel. And then it's double figure odds the rest. Rory, back to you for the Carl Cup. I'll allow you to have two here.
That's very kind of you. I might stick to one. To be perfectly honest, I've got one of my biggest fancies each way in, at the festival in this handicap terms. I think Captain Conby is going to be hard to kick out of the frame of a what looks a very fair mark of 143. He was a decent novice last season who just had a little bit of trouble with his jumping. He didn't always get the landing gear right, including when running what probably would have been his best race in the Grade One. At Aintree, the Mersey Novices Hurdle. He was running on into fourth that day. Might have challenged for third. He's coming from towards the rear of the field when he came down at the second last. He'd previously, shown decent form in graded company, and he's gone into handicaps this season. Two very, very good efforts, both at Punchestown, finishing second to San Salvador at the track last time. Looking like the best horse in the race, I thought. His previous start was over 3 miles at the track, and again he travelled best, created odds on the run. I didn't think he quite stayed the 3 miles that day. He's dropped back to an extended 2 mile 3. This 2 mile 5 should be absolutely ideal for him. The soft ground will suit him well. He's got plenty of form and heavy, and I still think there's more to come from Captain Conby as a lightly raced second season hurdler. I, with extra places on offer here, I would be disappointed if Captain Conby is out of the frame.
Ruby Walsh, your eyes lit up when Rory said Captain Conby.
I thought I'd pulled one out of the fire as I was going through these this morning, and I was with Captain Conby as well. And I was basically going through all Floron and Captain Conby and then the last one behind San Salvador. I completely agree with Rory, who has explained it in much more detail than I have.
I won't let you get away then. A word on Scaramanga and I Care Allen, the two Mullins representatives.
I Care Allen ran too bad for me in Newbury, and Scaramanga wants fast ground. Taxramax, hard to fancy.
Okay, I missed one. Yes, Taxramax there with Danny Mullins on board at 40-1. Right, Tuva. I would have made that a 50-1 shot that he picked the same horse in the Carl Cup lads, to be honest.
So
fair play to his Captain Conby each way for the two lads at the Carl Cup, as mentioned, extra places available. Right, the Queen Mother Choppy Chase. If you pop into a Paddy Power shop, by the way, this is a money back or loser race. We did it on Tuesday. If John Bond won, I hope he did. I don't know yet. But if Energamine or Energamine wins this, the Champion Chase, the Money Back All Loser special will click for retail customers. Now, he is currently 13-8, second favourite on Monday afternoon. Edward Stone favourite at 6-4. Editor Digit 5-1. It's 16's Nube Negra, 20-1 Captain Guinness, 22's Grenadine, 33's Fernando Silva. All right, Ruby, we've been talking about the big three since the Clarence House, and there hasn't really been much change, has there?
No, there hasn't. And obviously, Gentleman to Me is out, which now we're leaving back to these three more. Look, since the Clarence House, I've been of the opinion that it doesn't suit me to go against the William Mullins horse, but I am, and I'm going against Energamine. I know the more rain that falls, the better chance he has. But to be fair to Edward Stone, he too looks like he's capable of handling soft ground. I think of the two of them since this time 12 months ago, Edward Stone looks to be the one that has improved, or maybe he's just maintained his form and Energamine has regressed. I didn't think leaving Cheltenham last year that would be the case, but Edward Stone from 8-9 to me looks to have improved. I think with a different ride, he'd have won the Clarence House, and that would give Energamine even more ground to find with him. Energamine's in really good form, or seems really well at home. There's no issues with him. There's no negative in that sense, but I just think that Edward Stone was very good in the Tingle Creek. Yeah, I know he unseated at Christmas, but he was unlucky not to win the Clarence House, and I think that's the strongest form.
There you go. Ruby mentioned Gentleman to Me, good grief, PK. Obviously a late enough withdrawal from this race in terms of just before Dex. Rory, does that make Editor Digit's task a little easier and then he won't be contesting the lead?
It seems to, yes. I mean, the question is, now what tactics will play out? Is anyone going to put pressure on Editor Digit? Because that seemed to be Gentleman to Me's job. I don't really see any of the outsiders doing that. Nube Negra is a hold up horse. Grenadine can go forward, but I'm not sure he will on this ground. Fernando Silva came from off the pace to be second last year, and I don't really see Captain Guinness pulling them along. So Editor Digit does seem to have an easy enough lead, unless Paul Townend goes forward on an Energumene. And I think that would be an Energumene's best chance of winning this race if Paul went forward on him, used his stride. I didn't think he was particularly happy jumping in amongst horses, or, you know, when he was slightly compromised by other horses last time. And of course, he then had Edwardson move up on his outside at the last, so he couldn't correct himself, made a mistake as a result of that. But I think if he's allowed to go forward, get himself ahead of Edwardson, get in a rhythm where he can, where he's, you know, not being dictated to by other horses in this race, that gives him a chance of winning this race. But I don't know whether that is the plan, and there's been no indication from the Mullins camp that they're thinking of doing that. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see a change of tactics from last year, and indeed from the Clarence House chase and an argument, and that could change the race. Otherwise, listen, if he's ridden the same as he was last year, or the same as he was in the Clarence House, I think Edward Stone has the Indian sign on him. But a change of tactics can win this for an argument, and that makes it a difficult race to punt in. But I would favour Edward Stone. The market's been speaking for him the whole week. You know, he's into 6-4 now. That's very much bottom price, I think, given how dangerous an argument could be. I know the Clarence House makes it look like he'd taken a bit of a backward step, but I wouldn't want to judge him purely on that run, particularly given the tactics that were employed that day. So it's a race where that could be blown open by Paul Townend's tactics. But until we know what they are, I'm not mad keen to have a huge bet against him.
Just, I assume you're just waiting for Ruby to cut in here.
I don't know, but I do think that I do know that Willie Mullins felt making the run and costing the Clarence House, and he changed tactics after that. That's all I do know. What way they'll ride him on Wednesday, I couldn't tell you.
You've seen that Paddy Power clip of the impression of you, Ruby, yeah, on the road to Shetland? Have you seen Connor's sketches? Okay, yeah. That wasn't a bad effort yourself of doing yourself. If anyone hasn't seen that Connor sketch, it's really, really good, where he takes the rip out of quite a few racing personalities.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, we'll move on to the cross course. That's 2 votes for Edwardson, by the way. 6-4 bottom price for Rory, though, bearing that in mind. Now, the cross-country chase, again, it's been billed as, for a lot of people, a match between the two Gordon Elliott horses, Delta Work and Galvin, for a long time. Eye-catching jockey booking, Keith Donoghue takes the ride on Delta Work. That probably caught a few people by surprise. Davy Russell ride Galvin. Now, Patrick and Willie team up with Franco Deport, very classy chaser, trying the old cross-country. Gin Online for Henry and Rachel is 14-1. Back in the lash, or 16-1 shot, as is Dacia Abbott in 20s bar. All right, Ruby, I'm surprised to see Keith Donoghue booked. We know he operates very well around these cross-country fences, but you're taking the race?
I think when you thought about it, it's not that big a shock. I agree with you. When I went to Keith, and then I went, well, obvious, the success he's had on Tiger Roll. And I do think Delta Work is the one, especially with the rain that's fallen PK. Last year, that was really what strengthened his chance, was real soft ground. I think that's a negative for Galvin. And I think Delta Work can only be better with a couple of runs over the cross country course. And I know he won first time up last year, but he has to be a better horse with those runs under his belt. I think he'd be hard to beat again. Franco Deport has had 2 runs in Otoy, which wouldn't be dissimilar to the English cross-country racing, which is very different to Irish ones. There's only one bank in Cheltenham. There's a lot more banks in Punchestown. And Franco Deport at a big price will keep going. He's 8-1. He's an each-way price anyway. But I do think Delta Work will win.
Fair enough. Rory?
I find it hard at the prices to pick between Delta Work and Galvin, mainly because I had an argument with a friend who said, "Oh, the fact that Galvin's running here must be a massive negative. Why would Gordon run him in this race when last year they thought he'd win the Gold Cup?" And I think you just misunderstand Gordon Elliott if you think that Galvin turning up here is a negative to his chances. It's a tried and proven method for him to get his classy horses in the national, and it's a much better prep if they win this than if they blunder the way around and don't do it. So I thought he was a big danger to Delta Work. I was just a little bit, I know Delta Work was giving lumps of weight away when he was beaten here in January. I was just not really impressed with how he attacked the last couple of obstacles there. But of course, the ground will be softer now, and that will make a difference. I thought he probably wasn't as happy on the good ground there as he might have been. And on softer ground, he should beat all those that opposed him there, and there's nothing really lurking, I don't think, at bigger prices. He's got the beating off them. Galvin's got the beating off them if he takes this as well. So maybe the obvious snide bet is backing Franco Desportes each way. He's third best in this race. I would imagine he will take to it. And he's got the class that he could throw a spanner in the works. You know, the top three are different class to the others in terms of their ability at park courses. And I see no reason why the three of them won't take very well to the cross country course. So Franco Desportes makes each way appeal, but it's it'd be a small play bet for me, really.
I smell a tricast, to be honest. I'm surprised you didn't go with it. Might sweeten them up, Franco Desportes.
No, we don't go the old sweeten them up cliche.
for those who were following our own Cheltenham Countdown series, we mentioned that that's a myth. It's a bit of a myth anyway. All right, so Ruby's on that Delta Work and Rory. Well, Rory, you're kind of sort of agreeing with the market, I suppose, but to maybe a little nibble at Franco Desportes each way. The Grand Annual, always a really tricky race. And has Andy Dufresne been laid out for this again? A strong favourite when second last year, 4-1 favourite at the time of recording, 9-2 final orders. Could be a big day for Keith Donoghue. Tino Blue is 5-1. Luke Dempsey gets the ride for Willie Mullins. Cursu Bleem is 8-1 for Henry de Bromha. Dad's Lad, 8-1. Tell you what, the Irish could win a handicap chase at Cheltenham because they're all over the market here. Ruby, I'll start with you. Dino Blue, right down the bottom of the weights. Nice weight, 10-13.
Yeah, lovely weight. Luke Dempsey rides, ran well in Nace behind Magic Days, Chase Tolman, Purvis in Cork. I think her style of running would suit the race, PK. She likes to be forward. As we said, doing the podcast during the year, that the Grand Annual is now on the Old Course, so it's a different race. I think the rain won't really have helped her time. Lucky Course Sublime is a weak finisher. Dad's Lad probably wants a little bit better ground as well. Look, I think Dino Blue is a chance. That's all she has, is a chance. I hope she runs well. It'd be great to see Luke Dempsey ride another winner at Cheltenham, but I wasn't strong on anything. But I'd be willing to oppose Andy Dufresne, if I was being honest.
Yeah. Yeah, last year maybe was a chance. I don't know. Rory, your thoughts on the Grand Annual?
I put Dino Blue up as one of two in this race, and the other one didn't make the cut. So again, I agree with Ruby. She's quite a nimble jumper of fences. She's got the right run style for this. She obviously lacks experience for it, but I thought she might have the class. With what's a pretty lightweight at 10-13, she would just about be the pick of mine at the top of the market. Final orders, it's just won too many 2-mile chases, hasn't he, to be winning the Grand Annual. All the trends tell you you're looking for horses.
You can't be winning races during the season if you're winning the Grand Annual.
just doesn't work at all, does it? He seems to be very openly campaigned. This is a bigger ask of him, and I thought that might be too much for him. Andy Dufresne, as a horse who's never really convinced, he was well punted for this race last year. He's always been held in high regard, and he hasn't really delivered. He's just a bit of a thief, really, isn't he? And I can see him being punted again and going off favourite for this race, because a few of these who've been laid out probably don't like conditions. I'm going to throw I will throw a second one in at a massive price, and it's an old favourite and a horse I've never really liked backing at all before, but I can see Matt Lover Doyen running well here.
Explain.
he's fallen a fair way in the weights. Obviously he's become a very hard horse to win with these days, but a race like the Grand Annual just might suit him. He's more than capable of going whatever pace they go here. I know he's been tried at 3 miles and further, but for me, he's shown his best form at up to 2.5 miles. His recent runs have come around this trip. I thought he ran pretty well in the Newlands Chase last time. I'd only beaten 4 lengths. That was a bit of a return to form. It's backed up by the speed figure. And just the nature of this race might just do something for a slightly jaded horse like he is. And he's going to be 40, 50 to one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 50 at the time of recording.
Yeah,
anyway.
Listen, you don't quite know what you're going to get with him, but he's one of those horses. He takes his racing very well, probably because he's not giving everything in those races. He looks after himself. But a race like this, where he'd be able to pass horses late in the day, might just play to his strengths. And although he's not one to rely on, you wouldn't be looking at a big stake on him. I'd definitely be having a save for each way at 50s.
life is like a battle over Doyen. You just don't know what you're going to get. Indeed. In the words of Tom Hanks. Right, so battle over Doyen and Dino Blue 2-4. Rory is a bit of a pass, essentially, for Ruby. It is tricky. Each way, betting, though, we are giving you extra places, 6 places in that. And I forgot to mention, we're going to go 4 in the cross-country as well for those who want to take on the top two. We're also going to give you an extra place in the bumper. The bumper, due off at 5:30. 10 horses, Ruby Walsh, that Willie Mullins is saddling. And Patrick raised a few eyebrows in the trading room when he decided to ride Fact to File, and his odds have plummeted since.
Yeah, look, I think ground, age, stamina, those kind of things have kicked into this decision for Patrick to ride Fact to File. Obviously, A Dream to Share is your favourite. He beat Fact to File in Leopardstown. That was a slowly run race. I think this will be a much different contest. I would be of the opinion the Stayers win this race over the speed horses, and I could see Fact to File changing that with A Dream to Share. It's, for me, was very impressive when he won at Navan, but the form isn't great. Fun was good at the Dublin Racing Festival. She's a filly, doesn't have enough weight for Patrick and Daryl Jacob rides. Chapeau de Salil has to turn the form of Better Days Ahead and run in a straight line. He was very wayward and he won. Retro Blackmore rides Western Diego, and 6-year-old again, that's going to really keep going. Age could be key here too. Danny has opted for Westport Cove, which kind of raised my eyes over Western Diego, but he obviously fancies Westport Cove. Outside of that, you have Loch Lynn, Michael O'Sullivan. He was tough when he won. Chosen Witness, I think, can run better than he did at the Dublin Racing Festival. He won on really testing ground at Limerick. Sean O'Keefe rides. Lecky Watson is still a maiden. Jack Kent, Jack Foley rides. He probably needs to improve, as does Captain Cody. But I think Patrick may well have got it right, and I'd do it Fact to File.
Is it fair to say, and you can tell me it's nonsense, it goes in terms of who gets the pecking order, Patrick first, then Paul, then Danny, and then the rest could be just, I don't know.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's lovely. That's just something punters may want to know. So Fact to File, Patrick on board, 5-1 from 15-2 on Monday alone. 5-1 Fritz for me, fun, 8-1 as Ruby mentioned. None of them could have ridden, or sorry, Patrick couldn't have ridden as the filly. 11-1 Chapeau de Soleil, 12-1 Better Days Ahead. Rory, your thoughts on the bumper?
Well, I was keen on Queen's Gamble even after she was beaten at Market Racing last time out, because she probably would have needed that run. She ended up on the wrong part of the track. The way track wouldn't have suited her either. But I really needed good ground for this, and the ground looks to have gone against her. Even if it is a bit drying tomorrow, I don't think it's going to dry back enough to give her a chance, which is a shame. She was underrated. She went out to a daft price after being beaten last time out when she was giving weight away. So that's cooled me on her. I don't think A Dream to Share is a bad price, by the way, at the top of this market. You know, if you just took it, Willie Mullins' horses out of it and said A Dream to Share is trained by W. Mullins and don't look at what it says on the card, you'd have them at a pretty short price, wouldn't you? But you know, based on that impressive win at the Dublin Racing Festival, comes in here 3 from 3. But I guess it's the fact that that young John Gleeson is riding, and that John Kiley's a trainer rather than someone a little bit more fashionable these days. But I think in terms of what the horse has achieved, that price is very fair. You know, I hadn't really got him on my radar because I thought he'd be always, you know, the bottom end price wise. But you're getting 4-1 or bigger, that's appealing enough. I thought it was a really hard race to get involved in because there doesn't appear to be a really outstanding performer, and yet most of these are capable of better than they've shown. So it's not an easy one to get involved, even from an each-way point of view. Leaves me with the one horse that I've mentioned as being under the radar for this through the season is Encanto Bruno for John McConnell. He's got form at the track. Now, the race he won here earlier in the season wasn't run at a particularly strong pace, and one or two people were inclined to think that it was form that you couldn't trust as a result. But I thought he stood out. I thought, you know, in a strongly run race, he'd have won by further than he did. The horse that he beat runs in the Supreme, Strong Glance. That was his only defeat. And I thought Encanto Bruno looked like he was learning, looked like he would need more time to fully develop. But to be able to do that on his second start, marked him down as a really good prospect. And I thought he would be a big player here. So he'd be the one I would go with as my standout now. But it's a race that's just ebbed and flowed all the way through the season, with contenders appearing and disappearing and reappearing again. You know, it wouldn't be a surprise if Facile Mode goes and wins this. We were all talking about him a month ago, before that run at the Dublin Racing Festival. And of course, he didn't have a huge amount of experience. That was only his second start. He wasn't disgraced that day. And if you bear in mind the way he cut through his field on debut, it wouldn't be a massive surprise to him bouncing back. And he was favourite for this, and he's now about 25-1 or thereabouts. So it's a tricky race. And again, I wouldn't like to be getting out of trouble on it, but the selection would be Encanto Bruno.
Encanto Bruno each way for Rory. Right, that's day two done and dusted. A reminder, pick five available, 50 grand in the pot. Yeah, 50 grand in the pot every day this week as well. And that's free to play. I think I forgot to mention that at the start. Sorry, producer Mark. Right, it's time for your day two Naps best bet on day two. Ruby Walsh.
Imperial Pass.
In the Ballymore, he's been confident for the last week or so, as have all the previous circuits. Rory, nap?
I will nap Jerry Colomb.
Lovely, in the Brown Advisory. So that's a nice little double, lads. I think we can put the two of those together with the From the Horse's Mouth double. That'd be lovely. Ruby, thanks for being chatty. You did say you wouldn't be that chatty yesterday, and fair play. Yeah, you nailed it.
Cheers, PK. Best of luck. Rory, enjoy Cheltenham.
Thanks very much, Ruby.
All right, listen, we'll be back tomorrow to look ahead to day number three. A reminder, all those fan zone tickets and everything else that's on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel and the Paddy's Pick 5 as well. Ruby's going to be great for it with the press room tomorrow. I can't wait. Talk to you tomorrow, folks.